Good morning. We've got your Bibles. We could turn to Luke chapter 15. I guess that won't be up on our screen today, will it? Luke chapter 15. This is a parable, I guess, that most of us knows of by heart, but I've sort of found something in it lately that sort of surprised me a bit. I guess you people have known about it forever, but it just really occurred to me, and it's been doing this a bit lately. I'll read it anyway. We start at, verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me," and he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him into anything. And when he came to himself, he said, "Well, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'll arise and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am not worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found.' And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering and said to his father, 'Look, these years I've served you, I've neither transgressed any time your commandment, and yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son comes, which has devoured your living with harlots, you've killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are ever with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is found again, was lost and is alive.'" Luke again. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Leon this morning was talking about inheritance, and that's something that I want to try and look at too. In Galatians chapter 4. Oh, heck. Here we are. Verse 1 to 7. "Now I say that the heir," that doesn't mean the stuff on the top of your head and has fallen off around the edges or to the edges. And it doesn't mean that rabbit creature either. It means heir that we are to inherit. "As long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he is be lord of all, but under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir to God through Christ. Good. Galatians, same thing back, chapter 3, verse 29 says, And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The son is not a slave, but the heir to the thing. Now, verse 28 of 4. Anybody following this, or am I just rambling on by myself? Verse 28 of chapter 4, Galatians says, Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondman, but of the free. Romans chapter 4. I've got bits everywhere this time. But it talks of course, how we are to inherit things. And I wanted to establish that a bit, if we could. 4 verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world, as Abraham, not to Abraham or his seed, nor to his seed, but through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In Peter, it talks of how that we are heirs to the promises of God by faith. Let's have a look there in Peter. Here's we're talking about husbands and stuff, and I don't know about this is right, but anyway. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. We are heirs to his grace. Yes. I've got a bit more of it in places, but I'll have another look at one more. In Titus it says, chapter 3, verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yeah. This is a spiritual picture that we read about the prodigal son. We hear that the angels rejoice in heaven about one person who repents and comes back. And God will not accept us as a servant, accept us as a son. You read in that passage where he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son, and he immediately said, bring the best robe and put on him. Which means the robe talked of in Scripture, of course, is our salvation. And our sin has been covered. Then he said, bring a ring and put on his finger. And that's the seal of sonship. We're not a servant, we're sons. and therefore heirs to what God is for us. And the other thing he gave him to was shoes to put on his feet to equip us to for life and our direction in life. It says somewhere that, what does it say? That we're shod with the gospel of peace. And that's what that it says. But and that's wonderful that that people come back to their father and all that. But I wanted to concentrate a bit more down further, where the father went out to try and appease his other son. And sometimes we like that too, I think. He said to the son, "You've always been with me." And he said, "All that I have is yours." I want you to think about that for a while. This is a spiritual picture of God talking to us, his sons. And he says, "All that I have is yours." I guess most of us don't ever think about it that way, but God has given us everything. Things in the he talks about in the natural. He told Abraham that his sons would be like the sand of the sea for multitude. Anybody ever been down the beach and counted the grains? Billions of them, isn't there? What about the stars of heaven? He said they'd be like the stars of heaven for multitude. Think of there is something like, I don't know, don't quote me on this, but something like a billion suns in the Milky Way. That means there's a billion solar systems there. And then they tell me that in the bowl of the Big Dipper, there's about a billion Milky Ways. And God has given all that to us. Not only has he's given us a lot of stuff. He's given us things, you know, spiritually. He's given the spirit of love and all the attached spiritual gifts. Where I read those things there, he's given us the kingdom of heaven. Hasn't even entered our brain yet what God has prepared for them that love him. He gave us his love. None greater love than that. He laid down his life for us. He gave us his grace, which is the undeserved favour of God. He gave us our salvation bought with his blood. We celebrated that this morning. And our righteous standing before God he gave of us as well. It doesn't come from us, it comes from him. And we have help to ask for we ask the maker himself, the designer, the master of everything. And surely we can occasionally get a goat to have a barbecue, if you know what I mean. Here's this poor bloke that served his dad all the time and didn't realise that all the father had, it was his. And he said to him, "You haven't even given me a goat." And didn't realise that he had the lot. And we have so much to receive through our inheritance. I doubt if anybody else can grasp its expectations. So when we're in need, maybe sickness or financial things. Gee, I talk to you about it, but it applies to me more than anyone. If we're going to be inheriting the lot, is it really anything at all to ask our father, who has the lot anyway? He owns it all. He's going to give it to us. I've heard of some people, you know, when they get sick and they try to hide it and suffer it secretly. They don't want no one to know about it and all that. They don't realise that the immense resource we have in that direction. Through all the saints' call for help. I remember when my wife was sick, people were praying for her from Vanuatu to England. And I'm sure that's how she made it. There was a time there when she was so sick, she was nearly dead, and I didn't realise at the time how bad it was. But somewhere down the bottom there, it stopped, and she started to come good. And we have enormous resources there if we want to tap into it. Yes. So we should be doing those things, tapping into the things of the Spirit. And through the gifts and prayer. No one is an island. And the use of the gifts of the Spirit, of other people's gifts too. People have got gifts of the Spirit, and they're not for themselves. They're for everybody else. And we should really tap into that resource. We're supposed to be a body, and if one suffers, all of us do. Like when Andre left us, hey? Look, it says in... I missed that piece I should have read out, but it says that about the owner of the estate, and we are that. We're the owner of the whole estate. And we haven't understood what we've got. Abraham was given a promise, and we're part of that. No greater blessing the world's ever known. And that was why my old Jacob was so eager to get hold of that, because he could see what it was and what it was worth. Yet his other brother despised it and didn't care about it. I talked about that. I've got ahead of myself a bit there. Yeah, he was to become the father of nations, many nations, and we are not slaves, of course, but we were heirs to the father's estate. The father would be a bit reluctant to hand over his estate to a son that was too young, or to a son unprepared. So God has given us the trial period where we learn all about some things before we get to that thing. And as we put a trust in him, he will hand over more and more. I've experienced that with my own sons. And there's a time, you know, when I had to give over, and I remember of some things that I smiled about when Pete was mucking with the cows, and I let it go because I knew he'd learn, and he did. Well, it was about some bulls. We had these bulls we used to breed, and they were quiet, and if you put them on the heifers, there was no trouble with the calving at all. Anyway, he decided he was going to get a black one, him, and he bought in shares of one of our workers, and they used the thing, and when it came time for the calving, they were all in trouble. They had to pull out every one of them. So he learned a great lot of stuff. But there's time when you've got to get out and give up to someone else, and I've done that, and it's wonderful to see how what they've done with what they've got. These things that... it's all about being a good steward of what things God's given us. The things of God are precious. The Bible talks about us having treasure in earthen vessels. And I'm sure God will only give those sort of things to him he can trust with it. Because he knows that heart of men all the time is toward evil. And he very, very caring and loving person. And that he teaches us. I hope this makes sense to you. I don't know, but I'm sure we don't understand all that God intends to give us. But if we just grasp a bit of it and tap into that, what God has got for us, start to use it for his glory.